This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up? It's Metal Shop right now. I have a band back in studio. It's the guys from Great Falls. They have a new album called Objects Without Pain, their first record on Neurot Recordings. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, absolutely. You know, Metal Shop is a Northwest institution, been going on for 40 plus years. Great Falls is a Northwest institution, has not been going on for 40 plus years, but has been going on for quite a while. How long now would you say Great Falls has been going on? At least 10, 12?
Over 12 is 12, 13. And then Damien and I did a proto Great Falls for a few years before that. And then we're in a band together before that. So really we just kind of consider us.
We've been playing together since 2000.
One.
So. Is it safe to say you guys are like musical partners?
We are best friends in every way.
Yeah. That's awesome. So new album, Objects Without Pain. Actually, you know what? Let's do this. Tell me what your name is and what you do in Great Falls. Reintroduce yourself.
All right. My name is Damien Johnston. I sing and play guitar.
My name is Shane Mailing. I play bass.
And who are we missing today?
We are missing Nicholas Parks, our beautiful drummer.
Who also does some vocals.
And lives in Portland.
He lives in Vancouver, Washington.
Okay.
But it's easier to say Portland so people don't think he's in Canada.
Yeah. Since we had you guys in studio last, you got the new drummer. So tell me where, you know, had you guys come in contact with him? Had you been friends with him for a while or?
We have known Nick for, pretty much.
Since he was 20 at least.
Yeah, I think 19 or 20. Our old band Playing Enemy played with his old band and, you know, have just kind of known him through the years, and we've loved his drumming forever, and it never seemed viable we had a reason to really ask him to be in the band, and then we needed a drummer and we asked him to do it, and here we are.
That's awesome. Yeah. So he's on the record, right?
He is on the record. He is, we had an EP come out earlier this year, which he's also on. He's doing it all.
Nice. So this new album, how long did you guys have to work on it? You know, did you guys spend a good portion of the pandemic working on it? Is this something that was post-pandemic, you know?
We started pre-pandemic, but it took us really only one song survived intact that we'd written before then. Mm-hmm. And during the pandemic, it was just sort of a slog. We were happy to have the time, and we spent a lot of time writing, and you know, we hit a lot of blockades, but it kind of picked up towards the end, and that was our main focus, and it was just sort of this piecemeal, not really knowing if we were ever going to kind of have a record that we were happy with.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of, especially after Nick joined and we could really kind of hear the songs in a new way with him playing on them and sort of felt freedom to kind of pursue some other things because of the way he played. And then it came together. So it doesn't really feel like a pandemic record, because I feel like so much of the time during the pandemic was hitting a lot of dead ends.
Mm.
But but we did work a lot on it at that time. It was just mostly failures.
So you mentioned kind of what Nick adds to it. Can I ask, like, you know, what how would you describe that? You know, what kind of energy does he bring to it?
Nick is a monster. Nice. He is a whirlwind. He's a whirlwind filled with monsters.
Yeah, he's a really expressive drummer. Like, cool. He's not that he's like not technical or anything, but he really he puts a lot of like excitement. Like, he feels it seems like he's stoked, you know, when he's playing. Yeah. Like,
yeah, I think Damien and I sort of approach playing where we always sort of want to be the focus of the song. Mm-hmm. Like, pretty much every part, Damien's playing guitar so that people are paying attention to the guitar. I'm trying to play bass so people are paying attention to bass. And Nick comes in and he plays like he's demanding that you listen to his drums. And he really pushes us in a way that, you know, he's just sort of just this sort of wild man going, and we're just kind of keeping up with him. So it's been great.
And a lot of our songs have odd time signatures, and he was a little like intimidated by that, but then he just immediately picked it all up. Like, it was big deal and just was awesome. Like, it was just so easy and so cool.
Yeah.
Have you guys played any shows with him yet?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. We've been playing with, shows now for like a year and a half, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's fantastic.
Well, screw me. I've been the one slacking. I haven't been able to come out and check it out. So
we keep asking you, Kevin. Yeah.
Oh. You guys did a music video shoot at the roller rink. Is
we
that
did,
right?
We did. Not in the roller rink, though.
Okay.
Not in the roller rink portion.
In the bar.
Okay.
Yeah, nice. The roller rinks are very popular video spots, so it's understandable that you would think that we would do it there. But we just did it in the small bar.
Nice.
We just like the size of the room. And
also, yeah. Yeah. And that video will hopefully be coming out soon. So.
So, you know, you guys are on a kind of an iconic label as far as underground metal music, you know, just artistic, really pushing the boundaries of cool heavy music and underground stuff. How did you guys get linked up with Neurot?
I mean, we were just very lucky that the Scott Evans, who is he produced our last record and he produced this one and mixed it. And he's in this band Kowloon Walled City.
Yeah.
Who are fantastic.
Yeah.
And they're on Neurot.
Oh, cool.
And when we were looking for a label, he's like, well, I'll talk to those guys. And, you know, and he passed it along. And, you know, maybe a week or two later, got to talk to Steve. And he's like, let's do it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Doesn't sound like it, you know, not... Any things to jump through or anything?
It was very
easiest thing ever.
It was very shockingly easy. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, so cool. We're very to be on the label.
Yeah,
it's very cool.
And the artwork is awesome as always. Damien, did you do that?
I did.
Awesome.
Yep. Yeah, I painted the cover and like the type stuff on the back cover is all painted as well, and then I did all the design.
Awesome. If people are interested in getting artwork for their band, do you take commissions to do
art? Oh yeah, for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How can people follow you for that?
Instagram's probably the easiest way to get in touch with me. Cool. I don't really keep up with any sort of other social media.
Yeah.
I'd say that's the best way. I just did a artwork for a band called Day Job on Hex Records.
Cool.
And it came out pretty nice, and it was painless and fun. And
and co-label mates or label mates. X Everything.
Oh, and X Everything, yeah, who are also now on Neurot Records.
Nice.
Which is the guitar player from Kowloon Walled City's other band with the singer Andre. I don't know if you ever knew Andre. Andre Sabrina, how do you say his last name?
Sanabria,
but he was from Vancouver. He was in a bunch of bands, Abominable Iron Sloth.
He was in bands with
our drummer Nick, yeah. He had a big hole in his heart for years and almost died a bunch of times, but he's fine now.
Okay, good.
Yeah, he's okay.
Yeah.
That is X Everything are fantastic.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, quite good.
You guys are going to be playing a show here November 4th at Funhouse, and that's your record release show. The record is out now, though. It's called Objects Without Pain, and you can order it on vinyl, on CD. You can stream it. November 3rd is going to be in Portland, so you're going to be doing two different record release shows. And then you guys are going on an East Coast tour. Is this your first tour in a while, or you guys?
It's been a while.
Been a while?
We did one in 2019, West Coast.
Yeah.
With Aris.
With Aris, yeah. Yeah, and I mean, you know, again, with the pandemic, it just seems like not that long ago.
Yeah.
But it's many years ago.
Yeah.
So it's been a minute, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We leave fly into Baltimore on October 4th, so, or October 3rd, something, one of those days.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They might want to know. Well,
in case anyone's at the Baltimore airport on October 4th.
Or 3rd.
Or 3rd.
Any cities you guys are particularly, you know, stoked on going back to visit? I'm sure you guys have, you know, played, you know, in the past, and it's been quite a while, so it'll be like revisiting old haunts.
Definitely. I've been to New York in the last decade, I guess, to play shows, but it's been a long time, so I'm excited to go there again. We're playing there with...
playing St. Vitus.
St. Vitus.
Awesome.
A Couch Slut charity program.
Excuse me? Couch Slut?
Couch Slut. Oh, they're great.
Oh, they're so good.
Okay. Oh, they're very, very good.
Yeah. Yeah, really deranged New York noise rock stuff.
Sweet.
This girl, Megan, sings, and she's...
Bleeds all over the place. She's great.
Yeah, she's a lunatic. It's amazing. Whoa. Amazing stuff.
Yeah.
I got to check out Couch Slut.
You do. Yeah.
All right. That's awesome. Awesome. And St. Vitus, I've always heard that venue is incredible.
So. Yeah, we're excited to play. So.
Yeah, looking forward to that one quite a bit.
Who do you guys know the lineup for the November 4th show at the Funhouse? Who you're playing with?
Yes, it's with Nurser.
Yeah, they're awesome.
We love. And Cult Sickness.
Oh, cool. They're great as well.
We also love. Yeah.
Saw them at Northwest Terror Fest. That's great.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we're going to go into a song here from the new album, Trap Feeding. And I think this was the first single you guys released. Is that right?
That is correct, yeah.
Awesome. So this song, do you guys love? What stands out to you guys about this song? Anything you want to say about it?
I mean, it's definitely one of the songs that, to go back to Nick, like we had this song pretty much done when he came on, and, you know, we were happy with how it was, and then, he just kind of just made it sound kind of deranged and crazy, and I mean, all other synonyms for deranged and crazy.
I gotta meet this guy.
Really helped push it forward. It was one of those songs that was kind of a Frankenstein song where it was made up of a bunch of different pieces of other songs that didn't quite make it. But I don't know, just hearing, like, once we all put it together with Nick, I was like, oh, this is really wonderful.
Yeah, we were really, really happy with it. So,
right on. Well, here's Trap Feeding off the new Great Falls album, Objects Without Pain. Again, you can see them November 4th at the Funhouse for their record release show. If you can't make it, at least stream or, you know, buy the album. Again, it's Great Falls Trap Feeding here on Metal Shop.
Yeah!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back here on Metal Shop, that was Trap Feeding Great Falls here on a Metal Shop, and they have a new album called Objects Without Pain on Neurot Records. They're going to be playing Seattle November 4th at the Funhouse. It's a hometown show. November 3rd in Portland. What's the name of the Portland venue?
The Fixin' 2.
The Fixin' 2?
The Fixin' 2.
Okay, nice. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Isn't that an interesting name?
Yeah. Like I'm fixing to
play a show there.
Fixing to friggin' rock out with your new drummer. That's
yeah,
awesome.
Amen. There you go.
Okay, so not everyone was born with an amoebic CD, you know, out the womb. So what what got you into underground heavy music? You know, Damien, you were in Undertow as pretty young.
Yeah, 17.
17. So what got you into punk or, you know, metal or hard music? You know?
Just wanting to skateboard.
Okay.
Yeah,
nice.
Like I think before I really got into skateboarding, I had decided, like, I had heard Slayer and, I mean, my best friend growing up, this kid, his older sister had a boyfriend who would give them tapes. So it was like a Smith's tape and a Slayer tape were like two of the first things I got. And they were, you know, weirdly, you know, fundamental in my life. But once I got into skateboarding and discovered Thrasher magazine, it just became all about that. Like, what shirts are skaters wearing? Who's this Misfits band? You know, what's up with... You know, I mean, of course, listening to Metallica and all that stuff, but, you know, skaters would have bands like Steve Caballero had a band called Odd Man Out, and I wanted to check that out. And Thrasher had a bunch of comps they would put out of music, and they had one called Noise Forest.
Yeah.
And it had, like, Brotherhood and, God, he was even on. It's been so long now, but it had a bunch of hardcore. I don't think maybe Inside Out was on that, but it had a bunch of hardcore on there. And hearing that,
you
I was just
this was
like,
Thrasher?
This was Thrasher, yeah.
I remember they had that skate rock Wild Riders of Boards with, like, the... But I didn't know about this Noise Forest. That
yeah, it was.
Cool.
And it's been 30 something years, so I might be blending some things from my memory together. But I had heard a ton through skateboarding and through that, and then meeting other skaters. You know, like, what do you guys like? What do you guys like? So,
and this was in the Northwest.
Yeah, this is the Northwest. I grew up in Bothell.
Okay.
Skating was a little harder to do out there because we didn't have sidewalks, but we had concrete. So, we'd come into the city and skate every weekend, and we'd meet people, and they'd. You know, give us tapes to check out and stuff. So go to the Big Tower Records, used to be down by Seattle Center, and, you know, see what was in there. See what was in, like, the weirdo sections and grab some strange stuff. And it was just really through skateboarding I got into that. And then when I got into a band, that kind of accelerates your learning about other bands pretty quickly. Because now you have peers that play music, too, and you start hearing what they're doing and what they're into. And it just gets, you know, it grows forever, and you never stop learning about new stuff.
Slayer and Smiths, I would say, is a good, if you put those two things together, you get Undertow.
Pretty much, yeah. For better or for worse, yeah.
The style of the Smiths, maybe a little bit of the riffs of you know, you mentioned Brotherhood. And I think we may have talked last before Ron passed away.
Yeah.
Do you have any cool memories of Ron that, you know, when I say Ron Brotherhood, Ron Gardapi, what comes to mind?
I mean, I just was totally intimidated by him my whole life, and especially when I was 17 years old.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh my God, this is a guy from Resolution and Brotherhood. Oh my God. Like, but I just remember, like, he had a, like, 64 Impala.
Yeah.
And this is right around, like, when the Chronic was really popular.
Okay. Yeah.
So we would drive around, like, Ballard and Green Lake and Queen Anne and stuff in his, like, low riding 64 Impala, like, trying to look all tough in our baseball caps.
Yeah.
He did look tough. He looked like a legitimately tough guy. So it just felt cool, like, being the little kid with these, like, grown-ups. And he was probably, like, 8 years older than me or something, but I was like, oh my God, you know, he's seen so much.
That's awesome. Yeah. R.I.P. Ron Gardapi, Ron Brotherhood. Shane, what about you, man? What got you into, you know?
I'm just the traditional older brother who liked Metallica and had sort of, like, spiritually, if not actively, sort of pushed me to like find like, you know, heavier bands and like darker bands, you know. And so you know, of course I started out with Stone Temple Pilots. But after that, slowly moved on to the darker, heavier stuff in the nu metal genre.
Yeah.
And after a dip in that, I found hardcore. I it was really just like Headbangers Ball kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that hardcore was not something I knew about at all, because I wasn't into skating or knew anything about that. I grew up in Indiana, so.
What are some sick Indiana bands?
Guns N' Roses.
What?
Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses. Well, Axl. Burn It Down wasn't too bad back in the day. Suicide Note are pretty good.
Oh yeah, those guys are good.
That's it. Okay. No other bands.
Sounds good. Right. Moving on.
Yeah. But nu metal, and then I'm pretty sure I saw Sick of It All on Headbangers Ball doing Scratch the Surface, and they were just playing like with a bunch of kids going crazy, and I'm like, whatever this is, like I want to listen to this.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like hardcore just splinters off into everything else, and then I just, here I am somehow.
So as a fellow nu metal head,
yes.
Is it kind of wild how it's bigger now than it ever was?
Absolutely.
Like
insane.
I was up at the Alderwood Mall. So shout out to the Shane Company off the corner of I-5, 405 east of the Alderwood exit.
Amen.
And mall punks, like mall goths again. They had the like full-on Jenkos with the like, you know, the what do you call it?
Like the fishnet.
Fishnets. Oh, and the, I was like
the Johnny Homicidal
like,
Maniac t-shirt over
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like kitty shirts and stuff. I was like, bro, it's crazy. They have like full-on nu metal festivals and...
I don't understand any of this.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, to be fair, like in a lot of ways, there's a lot of like extreme metal that I think has, I don't want to say dumbed down, because that's a little unfair, but have done the sort of simplistic route that, you know, like with a lot of core bands, you know, with like that just, you know, so many like breakdowns and all of these things. And, you know, I feel that nu metal was now it kind of just seems like sort of a logical progression.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, the one thing that I don't think a lot of people talked about at the time that I kind of felt nu metal helped nu metal so much is that you could listen to a Korn record and you could be like, well, I could play that.
Yeah,
I can learn how to play this.
Similar to like what Nirvana represents.
Yeah, right. Kids, you know, right? It was this sort of like accessibility and this ability to be like, well, I could be like these people.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what a lot of you know, kind of a lot of sort of deathcore bands or anything opened for people. And I think that surprisingly, nu metal is like, yeah, you can still play this kind of stuff. Yeah. Like you have, there's a song. You know, there's. There's your first, you know, 30 seconds of a song.
So, put a mask on, put some dreadlocks in.
I do hate it because it's the aesthetic is just unforgivable. But I guess I can't, as someone who loved nu metal, I don't understand why anyone could continue to like it. but hey, you know, but as someone who did like nu metal, it's hard for me to criticize.
I mean, are there any things that you still ride with? Like, if I threw on a Cold Chamber record, would you be like, Loco?
Well, I mean, I mean, I know that record incredibly well. I mean, if you
I know who produced it.
I mean, well, that was Ross Robinson. He did the first Cold Chamber record. Come on. Ask me something hard. Big Truck, of course, track 5. That's my spot. Yeah. I mean, of course, the whole thing about nu metal that is like, you know, there's the whole the splintering of Deftones and like,
sure.
no one like hates Deftones.
Yeah. They're like, the thinking man's nu metal.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
The art nu metal.
Yeah. So really, you know, for you to like appreciate what Deftones have done, even afterward, you still kind of have to begrudgingly like some of the nu metal stuff.
Sure.
So then you're just back in it. Now all of a sudden you're listening to $3 Bill Y'all and
And then there's like System of a Down, who kind of are new metal, but then also kind of really weird and artistic too.
Yeah, and I mean they kind of dropped in like after I was and like you know like the Slipknots and the System of a Downs and things. That was after I had sort of
Linkin Park stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like at that point because you know there's the you know you love something and then you get away from it and hate it.
Yeah,
you like despise it. It's just like, you know, it's like, you know, once you stop drinking, you're just like, drinking is so stupid. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how I was with a lot of those bands. But there's still something. There's something in the DNA that I can't.
Yeah, I missed
Damien's
stuff,
like, so. I don't know about this conversation.
I mean, Shane could play songs. Like you could play like the first song on Iowa Slipknot. It has like a full on grind part, right?
Yeah.
Like they would borrow from a lot of it. I feel like there's a lot of spillover between like Relapse message board days to some of these bands. Like they would kind of get informed by those things. I mean, System of a Down had some pretty cool stuff. I mean, I bought a System of a Down.
This is a funny story.
I was with Shane and I was decided
Toxicity had come out
and I decided I was like, God damn it, I kind of like some. Oh, sorry.
Darn it,
I hate. I kind of like a couple of these songs.
Yeah.
And you know, streaming wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah. So
I was completely embarrassed to buy it.
But I was like, I'm going to buy this CD.
Here's my $17.99 at Sam Goody.
Absolutely. I was like, I'm going to buy the CD, but I'm going to go to the Tower Records in the U District on the Ave, and I'm going to buy it there because I don't know anybody here. Yeah. It's going to be no big deal. So we go up, I grab the Toxicity, I walk up to the counter, and there's just some like cute college girl or whatever, like the counter. I'm like, all right, this is going to be no big deal. Like, she. I don't care. I put that up there, and she rings up. She goes, are you Damien from Undertow? I was like, God! And Shane was there to witness this.
It was amazing.
Yeah, so it ended up being the worst possible scenario.
I mean, and to be fair, you know, at the time, I mean, Damien's 25 at the time.
Yeah.
So, you know.
All cred is gone, dude.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, that was it.
It outed
you. She told everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, of course, you know, I don't think we have any shame about anything that all terrible music we like.
Oh, no. I like so much garbage.
Well, let's name a few. What's some garbage that you love?
Garbage I love? Like actual garbage I love?
You said you like so much, you know, crap music or whatever.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of, like, let's see, Vanessa Carlton, 1,000 Miles. That song's awesome.
Yeah.
That's an easy one.
That's an easy one. That's a good song.
I love Olivia Rodrigo. I think she's great.
I don't know what she sounds like.
She's she actually just put out a new album.
I know. I
can't
wait to hear it.
Kind of like, pop punk Taylor Swift, maybe.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
like a little bit of Paramore style, but like.
Yeah, there's some Taylor Swift that I can get with too. Like, yeah.
I'm also, I would.
Which I'd also call terrible, but I'll listen to it.
I would happily go toe to toe with anyone in the extreme music community on who likes OK Go more, because I would be shocked if anyone enjoys OK Go as much as I do.
You're an OK Go guy.
I love their music. I love their videos.
Yeah.
I'll watch interviews with them. They seem like very nice gentlemen. I think they're a great band.
I'll say, as a parent, OK Go like kept my like 6-year-old when she was 6 like very entertained with those videos. I could just put those on and she would just be into them for hours. Like, the one where they're driving the car around the track.
Oh, yeah, it's a great
Goldberg
one.
Goldberg one.
Yeah.
And then the ghillie suits, like all that stuff. She'd loved all that stuff. Yeah.
The ghillie suit one and the car one are also, those are two variations of the same song, but we don't need to go there.
Fellas, 40 years of Metal Shop. No one's ever talked about OK Go on Metal Shop. We have reached new ground, bro. This is amazing. Okay, so did you kind of like want to take some of the OK Go pizzazz when you guys made your music video?
We consider ourselves the
OK Go.
We consider ourselves the OK Go of noisecore.
Yeah, every song is an homage to. I don't know any of their names. I don't know the songs, the title of any of the records. I don't know any of the song name of any of the songs, but I know those videos are quite good.
The song when they're the video when they're in the airplane, and they do the dive, so then they're in zero gravity. Come on, that is art. It's pure art.
They got a lot of money behind them, that's for sure.
Okay, so you guys both have quite a few tattoos. Do you have any music-related tattoos? Like any, you know, any band tattoos, anything like that?
I don't think so.
Do I have any? I got a comic book related one.
What's the comic book related?
From the Sandman comics.
Awesome.
I have a little Key to Hell on my arm. It's like my second tattoo, I think. Oh, yeah. My first tattoo ever is a symbol from Bloodlet.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay.
That was my very first tattoo. Got it at the tattoo shop on Lake City Way, which I maybe is called Lake City Tattoo or something.
Nice.
By a guy who is long since dead.
A Bloodlet tattoo.
Yeah.
You wrote it for them.
I did roadie for Bloodlet.
You rode, okay, nice.
Yeah, first day of the tour, I like scratched the crap out of their van, like really messed it up.
Oh, no.
So they're like, you have to get a tattoo of us.
Shane, did you see?
I have Simpsons tattoos. I have my two right here and right here.
Nice.
From this episode of Gerald Ford.
Gerald Ford and Bush.
And Bush, yeah, that's right.
The two bad neighbors tattoo.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. I have nothing else that's music related. I'm sorry.
Okay, so Shane, you're a writer for Decibel Magazine.
I am.
What's an artist that you're writing for that magazine or doing a review that you didn't know about that you got turned on to? Have you ever been turned on to something cool just because you get assigned a review or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I review a lot of stuff that I don't particularly like or that I sort of maybe give a good review to that I don't think is great for me, but you know, is good. But yeah, I mean, I've been writing for them for 16 years.
Wow. So you probably started like right when it started.
A few, like 2 years after, I think maybe.
Cool.
I've done many reviews. So I don't know, like I don't even know, we were just talking about Tumold, who just came out.
Yeah. Great album.
And
they just made the cover and someone was talking about how they needed to wear suits. Did you see that whole Twitter uproar?
I did not.
someone said it was a whole, there was a quite a Twitter discourse today on X. Someone took a picture of Ackercock in suits and they said, "This is Tumold. Their new album is great, but they're dressed in regular clothes. They should be dressed like Ackercock does because this is quite a thing. You're on the cover of the biggest extreme metal. You should be treating it like it's
Was it my mom saying this?
Right? Yeah. And everyone's just like,
they should take off their hats when they enter the restaurant.
Yeah, it's just like, exactly. Yeah. Anyways,
get a haircut.
It was a whole to do.
Man,
you walk behind a lady when you go up the stairs, and in front when you go down. Come on, Tumult.
So weird. I mean,
you wear the hat and you go, m'lady.
I mean, I interviewed Tumold when their first record came out.
Nice.
And I don't think I would have listened to that necessarily had I not interviewed them. And I was like, oh, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah.
This is so good. And that's just, that has happened many, many times.
I learned about so much music from Shane just being like, oh, you should check this out. You'd like them. Like,
yeah, I mean, I feel like I don't.
Benefaxath is a band you turned me on to.
Yeah, really good. I mean, I don't really feel like I actively pursue music that much. Yeah. I just kind of have it sort of thrown in my face.
Yeah.
And so
it's a cool problem to have.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I mean, my inbox is a nightmare.
Yeah, but just holics downloads. And
man, just, yeah,
hard to keep up, right?
Yeah, I mean, impossible to keep up.
Yeah, exactly.
But, but I guess that's a...
I will say that I download everything.
No.
I don't listen to everything. Yes, I do.
You do?
I download everything, and I have, at the end of the year, I have like 600 downloaded albums, and I just keep it in a crazy file, and I just buy a new hard drive.
I was going to say.
It's just I have thousands upon thousands upon thousands of albums I've never even touched.
That is
because
amazing.
I'm a it's just like
Almost always, like if a band follows us, I follow them back.
Yeah.
Keeping the community going.
Yeah.
And a lot of bands that I have gotten really into is just because, they happen to follow us. I follow them. I just checked them out for a minute. I'm like, oh, these guys are fantastic. Like,
that's how we got the girl to sing on our record.
That is very
true. Tell me about that. Yeah. Who sang on your record?
Her name is Lillian Albazi. She is Australian.
Awesome.
She is the singer of a band called Great Falls. And
that's right. Yeah, I saw on the Colin Decibel about this. That was so cool.
Yeah. And I just found them on Spotify. I just looked us up for some reason.
Yeah.
And there was another Great Falls. And I'm like, huh, that's interesting. And I just found them on Instagram. And I was just like, hey, funny that you're called Great Falls too.
Yeah.
Maybe we can do a collaboration at some point, you know, just kind of just saying that. And yeah, they thought we were like contacting them to say,
like, change your name,
change your name. We're going to sue you. Which when we finally posted about it, like, so many comments, it's just crushing how many comments there are of people being like, yeah, well, we had a name and someone contacted us, but it wasn't to say hello. It was to say, you got to change your name.
Yeah.
And it was just like nothing but bad news. Damn. Like, nothing but everyone being like, I had the exact opposite to me. And yeah. And so I just kind of joked about that. And then like 2 years later, when it was time to start putting this together, we're like, yeah, let's like have some female vocals on here.
Yeah.
And I contacted Lillian and I was just like, are you interested at all? And she was, her like excitement, interest in doing all of this has been,
hey, you so want to sing for Great Falls? Not your Great Falls, but yeah, a different.
Exactly. And she's just been so like wonderful and supportive. Yeah. And just, yeah.
Definitely the best musician in the band by far.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. She's, I mean, she's a professional musician. That's so that, awesome. That she's willing to slum it with us has been a real gift.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Awesome. What the? Indie Row?
Yeah, they're great.
She's, I mean, she does a lot of jazz herself too.
Like, yeah, she does like solo jazz.
Wow.
Yeah, and then she just does this sort of like side project indie rock band, but really good. Like, you know, some very sad stuff. Her voice is amazing.
She writes great lyrics.
Yeah, wow. She's fantastic.
I'll look it up. Should we play the song with her on it?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, she's on almost all the songs in some way or another.
Oh, she's on a lot of the songs. It's weird because
you might not notice it though.
She, I mean, a lot of her stuff is like very textural and like so much of her stuff is just, you know, you'd almost think it was like synths or like samples or something, but she's just like floating all around the record, like just doing these things. So, but she is, I mean, on the first song,
Dragged Home Alive.
Yeah. On that song, you hear her kind of whispering at the beginning, and then she does some little beautiful vocals at the end. Cool. So,
well, that's one we're going to go into. All right, so, excellent. This is a long one. This is the one that starts the album. Anything you guys want to say about that? You can hear her whispering.
I mean, you know, the thing that I think I'm kind of saying is that it was very intentional to start the record the opposite of the way that we've started records, which we always start to be harsh and you kind of know what you're getting.
Yeah.
And, with this one, we kind of wanted to see how long we could kind of drag out the song before the kind of traditional sound kind of comes in. And
going real Bell Witch with it, are you?
I guess a little bit.
Oh yeah, that mirror.
We didn't go 80 minutes, but but yeah, so we just kind of wanted people to,
and it was one of the few songs we didn't have finished before Nick really showed up. Like, we didn't 100% sure this was gonna work. Like, we had all the pieces done, but
no, I mean, we didn't really though.
I guess but it was, we knew kind of how we wanted it to go, but we never got a chance to hear it until Nick showed up, and it was like, he did this, we're like, okay, this is gonna be awesome.
Yeah, we just kind of had this idea, like, we had some parts sort of scattered out, and then we kind of had an idea of like sort of the ups and downs, but we didn't have a full song in any capacity, and we were really worried it was gonna suck. So, but,
well, it doesn't.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. It's great. The new album, Objects Without Pain, is available now, and we're going to go to the first song from it. You can catch them November 4th at the Funhouse. We're going to go into Dragged Home Alive. It's Metal Shop here on KISW.
Thank you.
Dragged Home Alive by Great Falls from the new album Objects Without Paint, playing that live November 4th at the Funhouse. They're going to go on a full East Coast tour. You can also catch them if you're down south a little bit, November 3rd in Portland. Their new album, Neurot Records, or is on Neurot Records. And also, if you want to listen to Shane, you can check out his podcast, How's Your Day?
Oh, wow, yeah. Deep cut.
Yes. So, favorite Northwest bands, you know, from all time, you know, whether it's Jimi Hendrix or Undertow, you know, favorite Northwest bands of all time.
Mine is not Undertow.
No, yours okay. Fair enough.
I do like Undertow. It was It was a good time, but no, just from growing up out here and being into hardcore and noisy, crazy stuff, I think The Accused hit me at like the perfect time. I was like 14 or 15 years old when I first heard an Accused record, and I remember thinking like, she's going to act. My mom's very crazy little hippie lady. But I just knew this was like obscene, like heavy and fast. And the vocals were bananas. Like it was just exactly what I needed, you know, skateboarding and just all the stuff worked. I used to draw their logo on everything. Like, it was just, I loved it. And, my mom did once hear, find the tape and cried like in front of
me.
Yeah. It was really sad.
And those guys still have so much energy playing with Toe Tag, Accused AD. They just have so much energy. And I saw them at Northwest Terror Fest. They just were so stoked and they just had so much. Blaine is still a wild man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, shout out to the Accused. Awesome.
Definitely.
Shane, what about you, man?
What do I like from the Pacific Northwest? I love Kiss Goodbye.
Yes.
Which Damien was in partially. Was definitely one of my I really liked Dead Guy. And then when Dead Guy split and, you know, three of the members kept on with Dead Guy for an EP, and then Keith and Tim started Kiss Goodbye. And I just remember hearing that She Loves Me, She Loves You Not record and just thinking like, this is one of the best things I've ever heard. And Damien did the artwork for that.
Awesome.
And the back cover is this sort of like arm strapped down, this kind of messy painting of an arm strapped down. And I have that in my house.
Wow.
And it is my most prized possession.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. So we got some Accused, some Kiss It Goodbye, mix them together. We got Great Falls.
That's right.
Yeah, a little bit.
Kind of. Maybe.
Again, the record release show is November 4th at the Funhouse. If people can't make it out to that show, what's the best way to support you guys?
I don't know. Just saying hello?
Yeah, just
do they wanna
listen. You can stream it on Spotify or pirate it. Do whatever you want. Yeah. Like, just, you know, come to a show
buy
sometime.
Buy it from Tower Records in U District.
Yeah, find that Tower Records. It's somewhere, right?
Maybe.
Japan.
There's one in
Japan.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, I don't know, like... I guess just listen to our music if you want. You don't have to give us money or anything. We don't need that. I mean, we like it, sure.
Yeah.
We don't live off of, our fortunes.
No.
But, but yeah, I guess, you know. And yeah, follow us on Instagram.
There you go. Shout outs or thank yous you'd like to send out there before we jump into
Shout
the
out
lesson?
To Nick. Sorry you couldn't be
here. Yeah, shout out to Nick. We already shouted out to Lillian and we said hello
probably
to Scott.
Say something nice about Shork.
Yeah, definitely shout out to John Shork, who is the person who did sort of all of the extra instrumentation on
awesome.
The record.
Yeah.
He did an incredible job and just came to it with this, you know, unbelievable sort of both open-mindedness and focus and just really, you know, it's not Lillian and John, you know, we definitely couldn't have done it without all of them.
Yeah.
And it was really nice to sort of, with Damien and I, you know, being sort of the core, to have, you know, Nick come in fairly, you know, fresh, and these three other people, it just felt, I think we usually are like, we have pretty tight stranglehold on everything.
Yeah.
So it was nice to deal with people who are so good at what they do that we could kind of...
Definitely give me hope for collaborating with people in the future, and specifically them, hopefully, for everything
nice.
We do going forward.
There you go. New additions to the band, right?
There you go.
Okay, awesome, guys. We're going to go into Ceilings Inch Closer. Anything you guys want to say about this one before we close out the interview? And
this is the oldest song
Yeah.
This is the only song that was written before the pandemic and survived. And I don't know how that happened, actually. But it's not that bad. We actually,
it's a good
you
one.
Know, we're usually pretty critical of songs, but this one kind of made it all the way through. And it doesn't sound too
bad.
Yeah.
All right. That's what an endorsement. Doesn't sound too bad. Great Falls Objects Without Pain is available now, and you can catch them November 4th at the Fun House. It's Ceilings Inch Closer. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.